May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 806, the first part. Hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son in whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, which says or seemed good. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. occur. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, or maybe it says of things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. The Lord bless his word and help us in prayer. O Lord, we would seek to bow by thy grace in our hearts, how we need thee. Lord, we can have the attitude that we want to feel and know, Lord, that reign of grace, that help of God for us this morning, each one. Lord, gather us up. Be with us. May thy blessed spirit be sweetly bestowed, graciously given, and so wonderfully bestowed to sinners as we have been singing. Pray, Lord, that thou help us, for we ever have to think of our sin and unworthiness. We would make a confession of it, Lord, and seek that thou wilt pardon and forgive. And remember us as we come and plead that worthy, prevailing name. We thank thee, Lord, for the mercies surrounding us. Thank thee, Lord, for those that have been able to come, and we remember any, Lord, that are unable to be here. We pray, Lord, that thou remember those we bring to thee, Lord, for that help of God in life's journey. Perhaps those that are in older years and need thee, Lord, so much. Lord, as we get older, we seem to need thee more and more. Oh, that it may be well with us. Oh, that we may be sweetly revived and bestowed upon by thy grace, that we may be able to know thee and seek, Lord, thy help. Remember each seeking soul. Remember, Lord, the dear children, each one. Pray that thou bless them, Lord, and bless us too. Pray that thou remember us here as we gather once more and seek, Lord, for thy blessing to be sweetly known, that the Lord to bless this sanctuary, even with living stones, and that those, Lord, that may be able to say we have found here. And seek to abide by thy maidens, even as we read of Ruth. and seek there may be those, Lord, that cleave to the field belonging to Boaz. Now remember any, Lord, that are exercised about things. Do grant, Lord, the convoy right love. We pray that thou wilt help us to thank thee for daily mercies. Indeed, we would repent of sin, and we have much to thank thee for. For those such to such sinners that we cannot keep thee in our sight, nor think one thought aright. Oh, what need we have of the precious blood of Jesus, the cleansing way of sin, the hiding of our guilt. Oh, the blessedness of it to be known and felt. This man that forgiveth sins also. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember any that are seeking their way, and pray that thou wilt be with each one. We lovingly commit and commend each one, and seek, Lord, that thou wilt be with us. And one has said, Lord, begin with me. We pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, to come and seek that enlargement. That we want to just, not to just come, Lord, we want our hearts enlarged, our faith increased, the Lord to be with us, the Holy Spirit to be sweetly appointed, and to grant, Lord, much more than we can ask, thy the Godhead might be known in some humble measure, in our hearts, as that one that can do helpless sinners good. Desire to thank thee again for thy many mercies. Desire to thank thee, Lord, for thy loving kindness. And we desire that thou wilt still grant that continuation of thy healing mercies, if it could please thee. And remember us now, Lord, as we commit the Sabbath school also unto thee, and pray that thou wilt be with our dear friends there, and help us, Lord, to see that help throughout this day. And remember each one. But, O Lord, we pray for that cleansing of the blood of Jesus, and then we shall be able to lift up, Lord, our hearts with confidence and sweet increase of faith. Do grant it in the Saviour's precious name, and through and by his precious blood we make every plea. And we do remember our land, and think, Lord, of the sad state things. We try to pray, Lord, to hear us for such a day as this, and the nations of the earth. Lord, what can we say? Do grant peace on the earth. We ask all in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 681. Blessed are they whose guilt is gone, whose sins are washed away with blood, whose hope is fixed on Christ alone, whom Christ has reconciled to God. Hymn 681.
Thank you.
by the help of God, I direct you to the word on my spirit in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. The second epistle to Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. What very great words are these, for ye know. Friends, may we be gathered up by that grace of God to know exactly what the apostle is speaking of. Indeed, each one that is appointed to preach the everlasting gospel, and those that even seek the Lord, if there may be that help, there must be a thought here of the beginnings of that grace, the call by grace, the ways of God with man, all of grace, to bring them back, to redeem them from the hateful ways of sin, and even to turn them to the fold and enter in. Now, friends, these words follow on, if you may perhaps remember in our reading, of that certain sound of the truth of the kingdom of God's grace. We receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Well, friends, what grace is needed, isn't it? To begin to hear and to call upon God. There's a few things. It's gone over in my mind so much, these words, receiving a kingdom. And the verses that we have read, his voice then shook the earth. Now with your promise, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Oh, what sober words. What things are here concerning this lower world and our little course upon it? What things are spoken here at the end of time and the fulfilling of all God's holy pleasure? What things belong here of those things that are coming upon the face of the earth? That's what has led me especially in my thoughts. Removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Friends, we are well on through this journey here on the earth until it's consumed. And those things which belong in the word here, signifying so much the need to be ready when the Lord shall return, when the Lord shall come and fulfil every jot and tittle of his word. What then? Everything that he has spoken here, much of it has been fulfilled in the setting forth of the gospel and the fulfilling of God's good pleasure. And yet there are those things. The apostle, he speaks both here in the Hebrews and in the 2 Corinthians in our text, speak so much of those things, friends, that have taken part, have taken place, and even now, friends, they're hastening on. Do we really, really think about it and consider it? Perhaps there are those things around and surrounding us in our land that bring it very much to our notice. Oh, what an evil day, what a solemn day. Things that once we wouldn't thought for a moment would be shaken or removed. And now, friends, they're removed and we're very solemnly brought towards his judgment. What will come, friends, sooner or later? A shaking of all things. The things that God will appoint and that we are brought very kindly, really, by the Lord to have it recorded here. But, friends, we need grace to take it to heart. So that's the way into our text. The shaking of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Friends, I want to find some of these sweet things that are spoken here by the dear apostle. Those things which cannot be shaken. Well, that's what matters, isn't it? And they may remain. Well, it's in the kingdom. It's in those things that are contained in these words, wherefore we receive in a kingdom. A kingdom which cannot be moved, with all things else shall be removed. This kingdom, friends, it shall stand. It is recorded here. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So there's much doctrine I want to notice, but I want to come to that experimental part too. Well, that's where my mind has been led to think upon those things that God speaks of here with a view to know this kingdom that seemed to come into my mind belonging to these characters, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Well, friends, it's a very sweet part, isn't it, if we think of the greatness of this kingdom of God made up of, I think we've been singing of these poor sinners, a kingdom of his grace, friends. Can you look back and think upon these words, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Those beginnings, when the Lord most graciously turned you from the ways of sin and ruin and brought you perhaps here a little and there a little. When I was called by grace, I often wondered that I might have something more tangible and more conspicuous. But friends, the Lord emptied me out. He still is. Friends, it's the truth of this kingdom within you. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, but yet for your sakes he became poor. Now this kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom. It is the kingdom really in the sweetness of it, of the glorious person of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, what do we know of it this morning? You say, well, I wish I could really say I knew exactly when the Lord touched my heart or granted me a place in the kingdom. Be careful. Friends, the Lord that will perfect his sweet word in his holy sovereign purposes of grace, friends. That's it, isn't it? Can you put it down to anything else that your very heart has been moved? Your soul has been quickened? Or that you would know it more? You would know a little of what this really means, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really, friends, what has struck me is the ministry given to the apostle. That really, to the Hebrews, there were those that were very far off. That they were recognized by the Romans and so on as being speakers of the Hebrew language and so on, but they were strangers and foreigners. Now the apostle is speaking of a people gathered in, brought to seek the Lord in a time when he may be found. A people called by grace divine. Well, what is that to you and me? The sovereign grace of God? Or is that what you want to hear preached? If so be, there might be some evidence that you are among those that know the very first part of our text, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must not pass over it too quickly. Friends, something must be known and felt. When God begins, friends, he works according to his holy, sovereign will. And in that there is the greatness of his love. Oh, the wonders of it, friends, that ever God should bring back these characters to seek him, until it can be said, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, it's divine knowledge, isn't it, in the sweetest aspect, to know him and to know his life eternal and his grace in our heart. Oh, how sweet the truth of it, friends, really. And really, I want to come to this point of it, that the apostle is speaking to these souls quickened by grace, made alive. They once were afar off, but now they're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, sweet theme, isn't it? We've been singing of it. Oh, the truth of the matter is, really, it's all of grace, isn't it? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we may say how little we seem to know, and how we mourn about it too. Well, let us look at it, friends, in the way of God's grace. He doesn't make these sinners say, great God, how good I am. Look how I am quickened. Look how I'm saved and haven't got a care in the world. Friend, it's opposite, isn't it? Oh, it's that, excuse me, quickening, which means that making alive of these souls that are ready to perish. And the Lord draws near. And it's here a little, excuse me. It's here a little and there a little. Sometimes that there might be a very sweet time under the sound of the gospel, and the Mondays a very, very dark day. Sin has, as it were, ruin your soul, as it were. Can it be right that ever God has ever touch my heart. Can it be that he has ever called me by grace divine? Friends, there are many hard questions when God grants his grace. Am I his or am I not? Friends, these things are real. You have to go about your work or even at the school, and there's a deep desire for God, and you need him to teach you and put you among those that are subjects of his grace. That's the great concern. It dwells deeply in the heart, and friends, it speaks of his love. For ye know. Now, in the preaching, friends, it behoves us to find exactly who these characters are. Not because they are quite a lot better than they were, but these characters, friends, the Lord has met them. That's the best way I can put it. Wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. But then he chooses providences with this calling to bring you to the throne of grace and to seek him with those that say, I cannot let thee go except thou bless me. Let me try and look at it a little closer. Friends, what can be said of these characters that know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they're not much, friends, when God has touched them by his Spirit. They fear that they shall perish. And they fear that they know nothing aright. Well, they know the throne of grace, friends. Do they not? Is it not, Lord, save me? Lord, help me? But then there are so many things you need the Lord to do in his providence, but still there is that longing desire which is so weak that Jesus inspires. Perhaps in the lunch hour, you have to take your little Bible and seek a little place where you might be able to seek the God of heaven for the worst of sinners. Ever called upon his name. And yet you have to go again. You have to seek him and to plead that worthy name. It's so precious now. Because it's exalted in the gospel. Let me try and notice it in the words of our text. Friends, it all comes to this point. You know, the grace, the sweetness of it is that he is the fountain of grace, the fullness of it. You can't find more grace than he can give. Friends, he is the one thing needful. Now, are you persuaded of it? I am persuaded, it says in the word. There is a reigning in the heart of these souls that they have to leave a few things, you know. And they have to seek at the mercy seat. There might be a token for good, of his special love. It has to be special to reach your poor heart, won't it? Oh, but friends, this one is beautifully seated upon the throne of grace. He is lifted up, and the Father has well received him. for this great matter of redemption, and that grace might abound to the very worst of sinners. As I can speak about it in words, but I think we've sung it, haven't we? Oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. But then, we're so ruined, aren't we? We need grace to keep our souls alive. We need grace to be, what it says, he giveth more grace. That's what suits these characters. He giveth more. Friends, that's the gospel, isn't it? Where is it? Friends, it's in the glorious person of Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Now the Father has chosen him, his own dear beloved Son, that grace might abound in the holy sovereign will of God to redeem a people. That's what the apostle was speaking about. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now really, that's how it struck my mind, friends, that the taking up of these difficult, hard questions and these things that are too hard for you and me too. Friends, it's this particular way that grace abounds to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Let me look at it a little further. It's the gift, isn't it? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. There's so much in it. That ye through his poverty might be rich. So there's a poor sinner, can't feel anything, he can't even find his evidences. Sometimes he's at a loss to know whether he's knowing anything at all, because sin is a dreadful plague, friends. It gets right in, doesn't it? And then what havoc it brings. Oh, the unbelief. This one that you love, you need the Lord to help you to continue. Dear one gone to glory many years ago. Remember her praying so much for the increase of his grace to bring her right through, and he did. Now I must come a little closer. These words belong, friends, to whom they do belong. And God knows each one. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we have noticed, of the same dear apostle speaking, if I can just take you back to it, about ye are come unto Mount Zion. What's it mean? Well, where is truth might be found? Where you might get some satisfaction for your poor soul that seems to be shut up and so minished and brought low and so utterly unlike the people of God that the devil says, well, you best leave off this seeking unto God and make the most of it. There's a principle of grace, friends, that God leaves behind in the hearts of these characters, and it flows from Jesus Christ, that they have to seek him and to beg for his mercy, that it might abound, that it might be sweetly known in a word speaking of a kingdom of it, that it reigns. That's what I like. Grace reigns, friends. Where would you be this morning if it didn't rain? I mean, look at it closely before the Lord. You might be able to follow my poor thoughts, for ye know by the ways of God with your soul, with the ways of the Lord in his divine providence that's brought you where? To lovely Mount Zion. My heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Sometimes hot and sometimes cold. But it says, you know, the grace. Now, that's the great matter resting on my mind, friends. It's this precious grace that is the unmerited gift of God that seeks out these characters because they're in a covenant of grace. In the great ways of God, he has drawn up, and I want to be clear about it, a covenant made. Now, the covenant is made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost concerning. The object of it is the saving of sinners to God's glory. Oh, the matter is this, friends. It's the imparting of this covenant, isn't it? It's what seals the covenant, ordering all things and sure, and brings nigh these souls that they can then go a little further. They can then go, well, in their thoughts and seek that if it be so, and if free grace, why not for me? I like that. It's living faith in exercise. Really, it's exactly as we've read of this great cloud of witnesses, that by his grace lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Which way? Well, friends, it's the way nearest heaven, if I put it very, very succinctly. Oh, that it might be well with me. That it might be my portion to be found, like dear Ruth, seeking in the field belonging to Boaz. But what God would leave behind, putting it in the simple way for gleaners. Friends, there's plenty there. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Field belonging to Boaz. And the tokens that are left there, friends, are heavenly purpose. Oh, to leave behind those precious things to glean among the sheaves. If so be, there may be hope. Friends, what is this name to you now? Is it not a name you would love and revere? But you've got such sin and guilt. Friends, no tellings what will come out of our hearts. But for grace, but it subdues. That dreadful plague it does. It's with the good physician, friends, to heal the dreadful wounds that sinners made. Let me come a little closer. I haven't really got very far. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I may put it like this, it doesn't mean to say, in my view, that you are so much favoured with grace, who don't know anything of sin. It doesn't mean that. It means, friends, a humble direction, doesn't it? And so, Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Yeah, you have to go, don't you, and see. There might be a place. Beneath that throne for such as are nothing worth. The Bible point bears me out, friends, of that prodigal returning. There's plenty, wasn't there? It needed the dear man to hear those sweet invitations and to bring him nigh and to clothe him too. Now that's what it means, friends, when it says ye know the grace. It's what's in him for such as cannot help themselves, can do nothing, but perhaps need the Lord especially. To grant a little a little of that sweetness of the truth here, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now I want to look at it as God may help me. When it says here, you know the grace, it means, friends, that salvation by grace. It means a little further that grace that abounds to pardon crimson sin. It's that grace that the Lord is pleased to impart and to grant by that grace the sweet truth of it abounding in the hearts of God's people. I want to notice it as God may help me for a few moments. It's as if I may put it like this, that the word speaks of a divine calling to hasten to the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. And this grace is spoken of as being that which God appoints. There is that fullness of grace to bestow. It is perhaps in the words here a part that may be very needful for some of you, perhaps very tried in your heart. It's as if it speaks of that direction unto him, whom is that God of all grace. A little further, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Now what does it say, friends? Oh, what can we say about it? Hence he left the realms of bliss. It says here of this grace, friends, that it is so wonderfully bestowed. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now I want to look at it round the other way, just for a moment. He became poor, that he might be made like unto his brethren. Oh, let us look at it in this respect, friends. Although the Lord of heaven and earth, though that one so high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, so wondrous in his grace, in the person of the Saviour. Friends, it was that he must be humbled that grace might appear. Oh, the depth of it. This glorious one should be humbled more than any, that grace might abound. Should be that one that God would send in that sweetness of the truth that he couldn't meet the characters that the Father had given him to save unless he was brought so low that grace might abound. This is a depth in it, isn't there? Oh, he was shorn like a sheep and so laid low that he might be poor, that these characters might be rich. Oh, friends, the matter is this. We might be able to think of it in this way, friends. What has the Lord taken away? What things has he denied? Perhaps some of you have got things you wish the Lord had granted. Friends, let me put it another way. All this loss, and Jesus Christ as well. If only I could really preach. Friends, this glorious one, laid so low, necessarily so, that by the law, by the greatness of the demands of God's law to be satisfied and to be that which God could look upon and receive these poor souls that are nothing worth at all. That's a good illustration, that nothing worth, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Let me look at it another way, friends. It's that you may have to come with the hymn writer. Could from all things parted be, never, never, Lord, from thee. Now I would say you can't live long like that because of the malignity, the dreadful nature of sin. Oh, it rains, doesn't it, given space or whatever we might talk about it. Friends, soon it rises. Soon it defiles this sinner and makes him unfit for the kingdom of God. But full grace, it's in our text, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fountain open, the kingdom of his grace. Plenty there, friends. But we have to be poor enough for it. You have to be ready to think, if ever my poor soul be saved, Christ must be the way. For ye know. Oh, if I could really set it forth. In some little way, there's some of these tokens about it, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to make you poor and needy, helpless and poor. But friends, it's guiltiness, isn't it? It's a dreadful stain it leaves. Can ever God dwell here? Do you know that language? And friends, you feel that it cannot be. No, friends, it can't be, but for grace abounding. And that's what the apostle was speaking about, the abounding of grace. Friends, it is like a river flowing still. Or it is like the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, that's the truth of it. For ye know. No, it doesn't mean that we've got such a great knowledge of it that we can be satisfied. No, it's the opposite. It's that felt sense of being the very worst of sinners, who on Jesus' grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall live above the sky. Now, how poorly I've tried to see. It's as if he finds that the apostle in his ministry, finding these characters, be it the Hebrews, that they were despised friends for the religion that God gave them. And so it is with the Corinthians too. For you know, and those characters that he'll bring, and they're content to be nothing if Jesus be all in all. And they're ready to say, Lord, leave not my soul destitute, but there may be something to walk in. For you know, perhaps, maybe a sweet remedy that God has appointed for some great, terrible trouble and trial. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it speaks of that way of humbling, doesn't it, of these ones. That God empties whom he fills, he does. And look at it, friends, the Lord will surely make up from that fullness of all. It's in the word, isn't it? That my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, do you prove it? Now, it's as if it seems to gather up. That's what's in our text. Gathering up these abject sinners, they can't promise to be better. They can't seem to get what they want. They certainly can't seem to feel to be saved, but they need the fullness of it. To save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And the time is going quickly. That's how we've come this morning. As if it might meet some out-of-the-way character. For ye know, where is it, this grace? In the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And that's what the law has done. Indeed, it speaks of a necessity as the advocate to be made poor, that grace might abound. And we have it so clearly that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Perhaps we should be able to speak about it. I must leave a few things this morning. For, you know, in some humble, the Lord apply it, some humble measure, an answer, a token, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. I must leave it there this morning. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Ian Sadler in the evening. Let us close with hymn 535. O the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you.
O Lord, do forgive all amiss and the shortcomings we feel, and do grant us more of that kingdom of grace and bring us right at last. Remember each and every one. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.